Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. I'm Chris, he's Aaron, and we're here to talk some Vikings football. What else? I mean, obviously, it's no secret we're going to have the best secondary of all time. Okay, maybe next year. It'll be the best. Okay, maybe not. Maybe we're just getting excited. But we did add to the secondary in two key parts. And I didn't expect both. I didn't want to get greedy. In fact, I remember Aaron talking about, well, what about Alexander? So I don't want to get greedy. I don't know, man. I just don't want to jinx it. And here comes back Alexander to the mix. So we're going to talk about some free agent acquisitions. We did do a show a little bit ago, thanks for listening, about kind of the initial wave. So we're going to talk about the additions of late. We also, like I said, two to the secondary. We also made a trade for an offensive lineman that it looks like we're going to try him at guard. We recently signed the player that I like to just say our left guard. I don't really like to say his name anymore. It's Dozier. Hopefully that's depth, knock on wood, but, you know, whatever. And then maybe – what else can we do addition-wise, free agency and offensive line? Because there are some talk about a couple of moves, whether it's a trade or a free agency type of move that could bring in just a serviceable player. Forrest Lamp is a guy that a lot of people talk about. So we're going to talk it through. And last time, you know, we talked about Danielle Hunter in that scenario. We found out a little bit more about, you know, the contact between the team and him. Turns out it wasn't Zimmer, as the press told us. It was, you know, the great defensive coach. So that, you know, Andre. So that's still there. But what we didn't do is sometimes you like to just have some talkers. You know what I mean? And we're going to talk about what would it take. We don't want to trade him, but let's just theoretically say, what would it take? And what offer would it take for us to pull the trigger on that? Speaking of defense, will Zimmer get that top 10 defense back? Will we crack the top 10 defense? What position will this new nose tackle play? Will it just be nose tackle and we have two nose tackles now? Or, you know, there's a lot of debate there. We're going to talk about that. Aaron has a segment on on good old Ricky. In his freaking seventh round love. He just loves seventh rounders. So we're going to get into some of this stuff. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You know, you don't have to go to blogtalk or ropeadope and download the show there or listen to the browser. If you want to hear it other places, we got you covered. Variety of different spots. You could find this here podcast at under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found pretty much everywhere. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. There's been a little website stuff going on. They're getting it figured out. They recently just posted our Viking show. They're going to post the draft show soon. So just for those that were looking for that. But like I said, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, basketball, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And if you don't have to wait for that draft show, though, you can go to Living in Loserville under Spricker. Aaron recently opened up a page. He's got some other podcasts he does. But also he just did the first mock draft out there. So check that out there. That's, once again, Living in Loserville. That kind of sums up the Purple People Eaters and all the football and basketball stuff on the collegiate level. Or, of course, talking Vikings, right? Timberwolves. And we will get back to the Timberwolves next week or so. Then we're going to do our Viking preview and mock draft like we did last year. We'll do our post-draft and give the grades out and all that. One more thing before we get into some of these topics here. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. Stream anywhere, of course, any device. They have the cloud DVR available. And right now, if you sign up for the choice package, that gives you a free year of HBO Max. And for a limited time, the NBA League Pass Premium for the rest of the season. Still got a couple of months. Remember, it runs a little late for another month and a half, almost 2 months because of the late start. That's AT&T TV. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. We hit 72 not long ago. It got a little chilly, and it's going to bounce right back up in the 60s and 70s a couple of days from now. How's it going on your side of things, sir?
It's going great. Nah, I just don't think we're out of the woods yet, but it sure seems like it. Let's get that 70-degree weather up a little bit more. And I don't really know, Chris. There's a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth going on in Viking land about how this free agency period's gone. Either it's not enough or we don't like the guys we got. And we want to start with that, maybe with the secondary a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There has been a little bit of everything. It's like, hey, are you mad because we weren't in camp hell? I mean, I thought we were in cap hell. Which one was it? But yeah, I did not see both of these moves coming. The safety does seem like a damn good fit. Zimmer, you can say what you want about Zimmer and the one-eyed bandit, but, you know, he comes with pedigree, obviously. If he can get, if Deion Sanders loves him, that tells you he can deal with any kind of personality and be cool with it and just see the good of it and just go with it. Because a lot of people think, oh, Deion this, Deion that. Yeah, but Deion came to play every single game. But I bring that up because we did have Patrick Peterson call Zimmer and they talked before the signing. And same with this guy, Woods, the safety. And they had talked a little bit. And the way they talked about, you know, he can play the high, he can play in the box, even in the slot. It's like they talk about it like it's really a kind of a perfect fit for him. And like I said, they got on the phone. Xavier Woods is who I'm talking about. 25-year-old safety, fits right in nicely opposite of Harrison Smith. A 1-year deal. So if it doesn't work, okay. If not, we can keep him around. It's very inexpensive. And then, you know, Alexander. To bring back a guy, and I remember you saying it took us all this time to get him in the nickel, and then he finally did. He's that long, lanky, that length that everybody talks about. I think it's big to have, whether it's depth, whether they do play him at the nickel, whatever it is, I just like the four corners we got now, Aaron.
You know, I like him better than I liked what we had going in last year. And maybe just start off with Peterson here. Obviously, I think he's going to play the outside. A lot of people wondered if he'd play safety or not, but then that got answered by Xavier Woods. So, you know, I like Peterson. Long in the tooth, obviously, that's what everybody's main complaint is. Didn't get along so well in Arizona where he came from. But we're not looking for, you know, I don't think we're looking for a long-term fix here. I think we're looking for a short-term fix, and I think he's the perfect guy to do that. He's got the experience. He can help Dantzler on the other side if that's how it works out. And then, you know, I don't know much about Xavier Woods. Watch him play a little bit, but you know, he's a good safety. Obviously, people are pretty confident about him, and he's in a good spot playing next to Harrison. So I think, you know, he might not be the greatest thing, but I think he's better than George Iloka, better than Josh Metellus, better than any other option we had on the roster. So, you know, I think average play will do there. And then, you know, Mackenzie Alexander, obviously I didn't want him to leave last year because if he had just learned that spot at nickel, we're glad he had a little bit of a hard time last year. And you don't know what they're going to exactly do with him, but I think you're right. Just having him around helps out a lot. You know, he can play the outside, and so can Gladney if that's necessary. But now you have more depth there, Chris, and that's something we had to build when everybody left last year.
Yeah, and the deals are, you know, they're one-year deal, two-year deal type stuff. It's not, you know, the most expensive cap stuff. So I got to say, like I said, I did not see it. I was screaming for a cornerback last year, veteran cornerback, screaming for it this year, and they shut me up quick. And it's hard to do to shut me up because I talk a lot. So I'm very happy with that. Some people are like, oh, it's a retread. Oh, they're coming back. And that's fair. We've addressed that with some other players. Stevens is one of them, or Steffens is one of them. You know, you're right. That's true. But, you know, if it's affordable and we know what we're getting, much like the defensive end that came back, these are not big contracts that are going to load us down. And if they work again, boom, then we'll re-sign them to a better contract per se. So I'm actually very, very happy with that. I mean, I couldn't really ask for more. I know a lot of people, Aaron, live in fantasy land, and they say, well, you know, the thing is, you're not the GM. So you're not going to have to do the positive or the negative. You could just say it. You could just say it after, before, during, and it doesn't matter. You're not going to lose your job or anything like that. But it's really easy just, well, I would do this. Well, you couldn't do that. First of all, they're not trading them. You know, they want to make these trades where you're just like, dude, why would you even do that? I don't care if the salaries match up. This isn't the NBA. Salaries don't have to match up. That wouldn't make sense for them. It's always some kind of great deal for us. And it just, I think people just need something to complain about. And we've always had those people in our society. It just now we have social media.
Yeah, and they're all over Viking world. I mean, you can get lost in a black hole going down some of these comments and a lot of opinions out there. Some of them educated, some of them not, some of them just outlandish crap that you can't. You're like, you know, I was upset. I'm glad we got rid of Steph and Chris, but then we brought in, you know, a couple guys coming back, and one we're definitely going to get to later. But Weatherly, I didn't have that big a problem with. I'm actually glad we brought Mac back. He's the one player I would have wanted to bring back. But all the noise about Griffin and all the noise about all these other players that we should get back just because they leave the team, like even Rudolph, you know, like I'm sad to see him go, but I understand why he went, and I thought it was good timing. But, you know, people are calling, bringing him back and all these, you know, we got to learn two things here, I think. And one is to let people go. Obviously, you get attached to people, but you know, at some point, I mean, you've heard me bark about it all last season about why is this guy on the roster? Why is that guy on the roster? You obviously can't play and this and that, you know. And generally, this offseason, I think we got rid of some of that dead weight. But now, you know, emerging, we have some new candidates. And, you know, obviously, we were in cap hell or whatever you want to call that, or even if it's real. But, you know, there's some problems that still need to be addressed. But as of right now, as far as we go, as far as the defense goes, I'm pretty happy about where we are.
Yeah, and it's like if you care so much about Rudolph, then why don't you want to see him make the money he's supposed to and get more thrown at him? Like, isn't this going to be good for him too? It is. It is going to be good for him. So he's going to make more money or make money, and he's going to get the ball. So I don't, you know, I think that's really good. Like you said, though, you got to let some go. I mean, that first year when KG left, you know, yeah, I did have a freaking Celtics t-shirt with number 5 on the back, Garnett. I did want him to win the championship. Now, if it's the Timberwolves against them, no, but we weren't going to get there, you know? So it's just kind of like, dude, you know, KG didn't want to go to the bitter end. We kicked him out of the door. Chauncey had to talk him into it. So it is funny, dude. It's like, get attached, but then if you care so much, it's kind of like a divorce. Like, hey, if you did love each other for some time, hopefully you can remain friends. Maybe the factor of the divorce, that's not going to happen. I get it. But wish something, not negative at least, wish something positive, maybe not, because like I said, I don't know how it ended or whatever, but just move on and, you know, let the person blossom or whatever. I don't know. It you're right, though. I see all sorts of, oh, we got to do that. We got to do this. Speaking of, though, now that we got our secondary intact and our defense intact for the most part anyway, you know, we both agreed we could get back to top 15 just getting Hunter and Pierce back and Barr and whatnot in another year. with Gladney and whatnot, right? All those youngsters. Well, now we got two veterans there with the two youngsters and a new safety. I mean, I'm pretty confident at a top 10. I don't know about you, but can we get this thing back to a top 10 D?
It's definitely possible. My only real pushback to that would be just the continuity. Remember when we were good in defense and we had, you know, year before last when our defense was veterans, they had played together for a long time. It's going to be hard to get back that sort of continuity right off the go. Now, obviously you're going to wait 3-4 games into the season. Even last year, you know, the defense improved after the first 3 or 4 weeks when everybody got everything figured out. We got some people returning, obviously, that already know the system. But there's a lot of new guys now that don't in positions that need to, not to mention what could come in the draft. So I think top 10's tough just because I think you're going to start off the year pretty slow. But I definitely think top 15 by the end of the season. And I think if it does come together, definitely top 10 by the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because you're right. It does. It usually does take a little while. And Zimmer, you know, I saw some quotes really quick. I didn't see his presser, but I saw some quotes of it right before the show. And he, you know, he was saying stuff like, hey, we are tweaking some stuff here and there. And, you know, you always have to update. And maybe that's just a blitz package. And, you know, to be honest, we couldn't really do many blitzes anyway. You know, I mean, we couldn't really, there wasn't much of a way to get pressure in general, because to be able to run these great blitz packages, you got to be able to have the line to do it. And obviously we did not. We will get to the Hunter and the Tomlinson thing, but let's switch to the offensive side. Now, I could see maybe a free agent wide receiver or something like that. I could definitely see a draft of a wide receiver. But we did make a trade for, you know, a guy that seems like he's got a chance to be. And this is where the bar is, by the way. He's got a chance to be serviceable. We've talked about it since 2018, after that 2017, those two guards, we've gone over all the guards. I think there were 17 of them now or something. And 18, 19, 20, here we are again, worried about it. And of course, we should be worried about it. I mean, it didn't get better as of right now, for sure. That's for sure, because we did, you know, drop a left tackle in Riley Reiff. So, I mean, that plays into it. But, you know, I like the low risk, high reward of this move. I think that, you know, he played as a backup and he played like a full season, I think, at center in a good chunk of a season, just being a backup. I'm talking about Cardinals then center Mason Cole, and maybe he'll play center here. But if you look at him at center, I haven't seen his whole, you know, all 22. But, you know, there's really no reason to necessarily put him there. But the thing about him is, you know, the age, he's only 25 years old. He did play some snaps at guard when they needed him. I can't remember their left guard or right guard. I think it was their left guard. That's pretty good. But he did play, like, I'm looking at it, 200 snaps. And I went and watched those. Now the whole clip, someone set up a huge clip that they fed it off Twitter. Now that site doesn't have it anymore, those usually go quick, but you can still see it on Twitter where they'll show like 3 minutes of it or whatever. I just like watching every play, so it's not just a highlight reel per se. But you know, the two times he started at guard, and we're talking about serviceable, I'm not trying to put him in the Pro Bowl, but the two times he started at guard, you know, he's going against the Niners and he was going against Tampa, and anyone knows, you know, what they have on their line. I was fairly impressed enough to where I can see why they made this sixth round. And didn't we get a sixth round pick? And that's the one we used from a player leaving. Was it Weatherly, actually? I can't remember who we got that sixth round for. But what are your thoughts about, because, you know, right now the only thing I'd be mad about is the offensive line, because we know it's a weakness. I like this move, though.
Well, hearing you talk about it makes me feel a little bit better about it, because I haven't seen any tape on Mason Cole, but I am not feeling great about what's at this offensive line right now. Now, if you still had Reef, I'd feel a little bit better, but I don't like it. Cole, obviously serviceable is the word there. He's got to be serviceable. Is he depth? Is he not? I think it all depends on what they do in training camp and the draft, of where these guys are going to fit in. I mean, Cleveland could end up at guard. He could end up at left tackle. He could end up at right tackle. We don't really know what's going to make, you know, Bradbury's not the greatest center. We've learned that, bordering on bust, a great run blocker, but not so great in pass protection. So is he there to back up Cole? Or maybe if Bradbury, you know, doesn't improve, could Cole come in there? It's a lot of moving parts on this offensive line, Chris. And that's, at this point, I don't think anybody expected it to be. Somebody thought we would make a move in free agency, and I think they had a lot on the plate there. But as of yesterday's news and re-signing Dakota Dozier, something fell through there. So, you know, is there a guy out there like Lamp that can be brought in? I'm not feeling so confident about that right now, considering that they did sign Dozier. So are they going to basically pigeonhole themselves in the draft to have to take the best lineman available, guard or tackle, and just keep taking linemen like we've always wanted them to do, but now they have to do it? So that would make a whole different spin on the draft. I just don't know exactly what their ideas are. They're not talking about it. I don't think Cole was brought in as a starter. I'm hoping Dozier wasn't brought in as a starter. So as of now, you're kind of weak at center. You're weak at least one guard position, possibly two, and you don't have a left tackle. How could you be happy about that?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like I said, I think he will start at left tackle. Now, can he get to serviceable? He didn't have much tape on left guard, so maybe these dudes didn't know how to play him or whatever, but when you look at those lines, it was like the whole anchoring, the whole helping out Bradbury, because you're right, there's so many times where he gets pushed back. He is undersized. He's athletic, but he's undersized, and he does need someone there to mount up on someone, pause, and you know what I mean, and really help him out with that little half a block, or hey, let's drive him this way. We're not going to be able to do much of this, but let's at least put him this way, type of thing. And it helps when you do have Dalvin Cook. We've still been able to be, for the most part, until we go against a real deal line, defensive line, we usually can run really well because he'll make those jukes. As far as, you know, O'Neal, we talked about this last show. Some people are freaking out about, you know, going to left tackle for O'Neal right when we were about to extend him. And I understand that part. But that's another thing that, you know, if he's a solid dude for the next 7 to 10 years, then who gives a shit if he's going to be a left tackle or right tackle? I mean, I put the best person there and not worry about that. Now, would it be awesome just to put Cleveland there and he's still in the rookie deal? Yeah, and actually, I got a tweet here from Chris Thomason talking about the O-line guru, Mike Tice, old Ticey, Randy Ratio. And he says he likes Ezra Cleveland over O'Neal on the left tackle. I really like him, he says. I like Cleveland. He's a tough guy. He's from a tough guy town. Okay, he didn't say that. I like Cleveland. I like his athleticism. To me, he would be the first shot and leave O'Neal where he's at, where he's been good, and maybe he's thinking financially too. I don't know. But if Tice likes him on the left, I'm ready to just move him over there because, you know, why don't we bring in Tice to work with this guy and only this guy? Just bring in Tice. No, but you're right. It's tough to feel great. Because it's so weird. You know, everyone thinks you mentioned this too, and I agree, with the third round we could get a guard, because it is tough to be like, hey, let's take a guard with the 14th pick. You know, it seems like a reach. Why don't just go tackle then, you know? But at such a – like we had – finally we had an offense that would make the box not be eight, you know? Like, back the fuck up a little bit, dude. And we finally got that, and now I just don't want to see digress like that. And then we said, well, if you get a left tackle, you say, yeah, but it's still a rookie left tackle. So I'm not saying I'm complete. I mean, if we get a stud, okay, I'll feel pretty good. But yeah, man, it's rough, dude, because I think it's just, you know, just the experience these last couple of years, when you see the middle of the pocket, and sure, Cousins, you know, he got a little better. better at moving around the pocket this year. That isn't his strength. But when I hear step up into the pocket, I'm like, dude, do you see what he'd be stepping up to? I mean, Dozier knocks our own guy off balance or gets knocked off by our, you know. So I don't know, dude. I am a little frisky with that. But I will send you that at least highlight thing. I can't see the all 200 plays because that they take it off really quick. But there is like a 2 or 3 minute package on both left guard games, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And by the way, we're still not in cap hell. You know, it matters who you listen to, but it's either $6, $6.5, $7 million that we can spend. Obviously, you need something for the draft. And who knows, maybe we would actually make the trade for that Baltimore left tackle. But then he wants to move the left tackle. He hasn't played there yet, though, as a pro. And then we'd have to pay him again. So it's like, man, well, why don't we just take the guy we have on it? Why lose draft capital? I'm not sure, man. It is to have an offense that finally started moving the ball in a variety of ways, I would just hate to see a step back.
Obviously, and you don't want to see, you know, these things go down. Obviously, let's talk about Mike Tyson. Yeah, bring him back. That would be great to have him coaching the offensive line. I'd feel a lot better about it. But, Chris, we're all dancing around this subject, and what we're dancing around is a huge mess. Nothing makes sense. Even these signings don't make sense. And you can try to make sense out of them. We're all here splitting hairs trying to do that. But it's just not making sense. What it's all falling down to is that it's going to have to come in the draft. And, you know, you can use that as a strategy, but first of all, if you're drafting for need in the first round, other people know what you need because it's the only thing you don't have. They can jump in front of you if there's a guy they like. You don't have a second round pick as of now, or you would try to find a guard. So it's a big mess, and I don't want people thinking that it's not, but at the same time, it can be fixed fairly easy if you can just sign a starting caliber lineman, just anyone, a tackle, a guard, a center, start, you know, get a starter, just get a starter. And I hope that you don't think that the two guys that you already brought in are starters. Maybe that's great tape on Cole. Let's hope he can do it. But at the same time, you know, you're not as confident as you would be. I mean, our best guard on this team is a tackle, and we don't have much depth under that.
Yeah.
So what's going on here, man?
Yeah, we don't have depth really, barely at all.
I mean, take the veil away from all this stupid propaganda, and what do you got? You got a big mess, and it's got to get fixed.
You got a punt formation. Let these guys run. Screw it, man. Forget pass blocking. We'll just do a punt formation and swing it around to Jefferson and Thielen and everybody. I think that's our only thing. It's kind of funny. Someone on Twitter, I think I texted this to you too. This is old school Zimmer. Give me run stoppers. Give me a corner. Give me bar back. The old line could go to hell for all I care. And it's like, well, that's a pretty accurate. I know he did it for fun, but that's pretty freaking accurate. And what's well,
now
he telling you?
Now you got Zolgad. You got Zolgad on 1500 saying this is all to get Cousins for not restructuring. That they're going to let Cousins. They're going to sacrifice the offense.
You're going to sacrifice
and the whole
his
season
job.
Just to get back at Cousins for not restructuring. Come on, man. That's your angle? I mean, his angle on Zimmer just drives me nuts. I don't want to get into that. This guy's got something against Zimmer. But enough of that. Yeah, I just can't figure out what's going on there. Once I figure it out, Chris, and I can actually put some logic to it, I think I will. But all that's logic, like I've said two other times, is that they're going to try to do it in the draft. And we've all said, it'd be great if the Vikings drafted the whole offensive line. And well, this year you're going to get it because they have to.
Yeah, I mean, the one that stands out, you mentioned him, Forrest Lamp, former chargeable, definitely serviceable run blocker. Not great, but man, he can pass block. And what better guy to have next to Bradbury than him? I mean, I shouldn't say what better guy. But as far as a guy that is, we know can pass block from the left guard position or right guard or whatever the fuck, guard, right? Yeah, man, it's... I just don't want to be here in September saying, God damn, son of a gun, this, that, and the third. And it does feel like we're heading down that line, man, unfortunately. You know, we were talking minorly about the draft. As a reminder, like I mentioned, we will have a draft preview show here in a couple of weeks. let's bring in the segment you were telling me about, sir, because we know our guy Ricky. Ricky loves him, and not Rubio. We love us some Rubio too, but Ricky Spielman loves himself some seventh rounders. What do you got for me here, sir?
Well, we all know, like you said, that Spielman loves the seventh rounders. And so I thought, well, this has been quite a few years here where he's undergone this strategy in the draft. And I thought to myself, well, why don't we take a look at what's come out of that? Because it's obviously been in for a while. We know he's going to do it. He does it every year. His reason for doing it, he says, is so that he can get the jump and not have to bid on UDFA players, which I think is smart in some ways. But you're also giving up better draft capital to be able to do that. So I thought we'd just take a quick look at, since 2014, what has actually come out of that. Now, I'll go ahead and give you the foreshadow quickly before we read through the names. There's 23 picks that have come from the seventh round since 2014. Six of them are guys I think that were probably worth it. There's two of them that are sort of on the fence. So I'd say if you want to be generous, you say 8 out of 26. If you want to really be conservative, 6 out of 26. So let's go ahead and go. 2013 seventh round pick was Michael Motti, Travis Bond, and Everett Dawkins. The only real name I can recognize out of that is Michael Motti. Played a little bit linebacker, mostly special teams. 2014 seventh round pick, Shamar Stephen, Brandon Watts, and Jabari Price. Obviously, Shamar Stephen was suitable for a time, but obviously gone now. 2015, you have Austin Shepherd and Edmund Robinson. Edmund Robinson played a little bit, but I think he's still in the league, but he's not really getting a lot of time. 2016, Stephen Weatherly, Jayron Kearse. Not bad. Serviceable, yeah. NFL players. 2017, you've got Stacy Coley, Ifeadi Odenigbo, Elijah Lee, and Jack Tocho. Obviously, the only name off of that is Ifeadi Odenigbo, and he's no longer with us. On the squad, that is. He's definitely alive. 2018, Devontae Downs, the only one. 2019.
He's down. He's not up.
Yeah. You know, 2019, there's four of them. Chris Boyd, Dylan Mitchell, BC Johnson, Austin Cutting. Now, I don't know what happened with Austin Cutting. He was the long snapper. He's not anymore. BC Johnson and Chris Boyd, I guess, are playing. We don't really love Chris Boyd all that much, but BC, I guess, for what he does, worth a seventh round pick. And then in 2020, we had four. Kenny Willekes blew out his ACL. I think he's got some talent. Nate Stanley, Brian Cole II, he got cut. And then Kyle Hinton, who I think is with us on the practice squad as a guard. So there are the guys that there – some names stick out. But I think let's talk a little bit about the strategy, Chris. We've got, what, 6-7 years there of this being the strategy. And you're giving up higher capital for that. You've got a hit rate. Yep, you've got a hit rate of about 8 out of 23. I'm just not sure, Chris, and I may, you know, if you can tell me that that's still a pretty good strategy, but when you look at it that way, it just maybe doesn't seem to be as smart as I up until yesterday thought it was. So I'm starting to question things I didn't really question before.
Yeah, you know, when you break it down like that and you see the names, and some of them I just don't even recognize. Like, I know Stacy Coley because he went to the U, Miami, but that's about it. You know, like, there wasn't that many names. Weatherly obviously stood out, a couple, you know, whatever. But that's true. That's a good point. And right now I'm looking at it. We got 1 7th rounder, right? And we only have 1 6th rounder now because that was that comp pick that we – or was it? Yeah, the comp pick, we had a 6, so we lost our
7th rounder.
Okay.
So we have no 7th rounder, we have 1 6th rounder. Now, okay. we know we're going to have 7th rounders.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's no way we're having 0 7th rounders. We know we're going to come some deal, some guy's going to be on the board that we all want, and the trade buzzer's going to come in, and it'll be, you know, pick 4 in the 3rd round to move back 19 spots and get 2 7th rounders. That's coming. We know that's coming.
And we got a gang of fourth rounders too, dude. He's going to move them all. Oh, he's going to move like 2 of them back and get stuff for next year too. We're going to load up on 7th rounders this year and next year. Yeah, I think you put that very well. Like, hey, like I was willing to, you know, he has gotten some nice stuff in the draft deeper, But when you put it in that perspective, I mean, there's barely any production, even in special teams, like for a handful of years. So, yeah, I'd have to say that that's not working out. It's kind of who could we have gotten, you know, 17 picks earlier or whatever in the sixth round. So, yeah, I actually am starting to turn a leaf on the old way on what you're saying. Is like, you know, maybe I don't like that at all, actually, now that I hear the list.
No. And the thing is that the only real defense is, well, look who we got as UDFAs. And for a time, right, maybe you could say that. Like, you could say, you know, Holton Hill. But he's not, you know, he's not with the squad anymore. I don't know if – is he – I want to say he's not, but he might still be lingering around. But other than that, Adam Thielen obviously was a UDFA. I don't remember when he came in. I don't know if it was before 2014 or not.
Well, did you know he went to Mankato. Did you know that? I didn't know that about Thielen.
So even that, you know, you're not still getting the great UDFAs. You haven't got one quarterback out of that you plan on using. I'm with you too on that. And I wanted to see where you stood because am I out of my mind thinking that this is a horrible strategy through, you know, over the course of time? And I'm glad that you sort of seconded it because I just don't think it makes any sense anymore.
And the thought process was if we get a bunch of sevens, then we will get a jump start on the free agent market after that. And it's like, well, shit, we've done better with the actual free agents at the end of the draft rather than the seventh rounder. So, oh, man. Yeah, I'm glad that segment that you thought that up, did some research, did a good job. Because, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm glad that we don't have one. But let's see. We got a bunch of fourth rounders, dude. Oh, my God. I think we can get in the second round, though. I really do, actually, now that I see those fourth rounders.
Well, I don't mind trading back. I think that's the best hope, right, is you go back to 19 or 20, 21, something like that, and try to get that second rounder because I think it's absolute. You know how I feel about second rounders, man. To me, they're almost like first rounders. And because you're
especially with him. He hits on there. Seconds.
Sure.
He definitely hits on seconds.
I'd be very surprised if he doesn't do something to acquire a second rounder. I just can't see him sitting through the whole beginning of the second day and not doing anything. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
That's true. He'd just be like, I got to do something. I need my fix. I got to do something. So, you know, the talk was Danielle Hunter is going to need a trade or whatever. We've already kind of gone down that path. But we didn't really say, well, what would make you pull the trigger? I saw a lot of people right away talking about Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack, you can put anywhere on the field besides maybe safety or corner, but he'll probably beat you up at the line of scrimmage so you can't get open anyway. So he's like, I love me some Hunter, but I'd say Khalil Mack's a lot more versatile. So we can't get the exact same thing. Not only that, but the neck injury just sat out a year. Khalil Mack type return is what folks were talking about. Two first rounds, a third in a fifth. So two first rounds, one third, and I can't remember what the other stuff was. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, trade Hunter. Obviously, we already kind of went over all that stuff. But what would it take for you to say, you know what, bang for a buck, there is some defensive ends in this draft. It'll free up cap. Let's do it. What would it take?
I like the Khalil Mack compensation. Although, again, let me say too, I don't want to lose Danielle Hunter. But if you had to, you're going to need a first rounder. But here's the deal: where do they move him? Do they move him to, you know, Baltimore to get Orlando Brown, and then maybe a little something else? Is that a straight across thing there? Or like, you know, Trent Williams last year. The problem is that if you start to move him, everybody knows you need to move him, and then then the price goes down and I don't see a lot of what's going on here. So I think they would too like to keep him, but if they can't pay him and throw him enough for this season, it's going to be very hard to. So I guess, you know, to answer your question directly, give me a great player and a first, I'll take that. A really great player and a second, I'll take that. But if you're just going to go draft, I'd say two firsts and maybe a second. I mean, obviously, you know, a third, whatever else junk you can give us with him. But right. I think you got to start at two firsts. I mean, I think he's at a position where you can get value for him. And I'd be very disappointed if, you know, they got away with a first and, you know, maybe a, I don't know.
How about a first, second, and a player, like you said, a left tackle, let's just say theoretically Brown, because then we could fit him in cap-wise.
I would take that in a heartbeat. I just don't think you're going to get a first with Brown. I think what you'll get with Brown is you'll get Brown a second and a third or something. Brown a second and a fourth, or you know the dreaded Brown a second and 3/7. You know you're not. I just if you can get that, Chris, I'd do that in a heartbeat. I think that's a good trade because I think you're getting basically a first in Brown. But if you're going to go straight draft picks, I'd want a first this year, a future first. And some other stuff. I mean, he's worth that, a good neck or bad neck at this point, because at this point, no one knows, including us, how that neck's going to work out.
That's a good point. And it does minorly, you know, deteriorate his worth, but overall, he's so young, first to 50, youngest ever. And he didn't even play, like we documented that first year and a half, he didn't even get to play the whole time. So, and we're not ripping on me, you know, obviously, look at the player he is, but like he would have had more sacks than 50 if he would have played more. So, yeah, more of the story. We don't want to get rid of him, but hey, like we said, we can't get too attached, right? If something happens like that, you're like, shit, dude. There are some you know available DNs. A lot of people talking about DN is what we're gonna do in the first round. So, yeah, it's an interesting debate.
And then you gotta imagine.
Good.
Quickly, then you got to imagine your defense. Let's say you hope it's top 15, hope it's top 10. You got to take at least three spots off of that. So you're talking about top 17, top 18, top 12 defense. I mean, he means that much to a defense, and especially when you don't have anything on the other side as of yet. It's a very important piece. I just don't have quickly. Let me ask you this. Do you have faith that Spielman would get his worth? Like a decent trade.
I do
in that situation.
Well, in this situation, maybe not. But I mean, he's proven it in the past. He just proved it with Diggs. We got a hell of a deal compared to a better player. Hopkins got as a better player than Diggs, and they got less. So, but you're right. This is a funky. That's why, I don't think many people could get the value that he's at. You know, really worth until he plays this year to make sure. Because once it's cool and that first week goes by and his neck's okay, because, you know, if it's going to get messed up, it's going to get messed up pretty early, unfortunately, probably, you know, because if it's fucked up, it's fucked up. But it's not like it's going to be like week six. Yeah, dude, it just happened. No, it's probably going to, you know, bug you. So right now, it's probably not even worth trading him right now, to be honest with you. Because of that, because it's like, well, shit, our value goes down a little bit. So why not wait a year or whatever like that? So, yeah, I trust Spielman in that, but I don't know if too many people could. Belichick, maybe? I don't know, you know, like, yeah, it's a good question, though. It is a good question.
Chris, let's get into this, because I caught a lot of fucking heat over the mock draft I put out. And I had the audacity. I love the picture, but I had the audacity at 14 to take Christian Barmore after we had already signed Delvin Tomlinson. And everybody said that's no longer a need. We don't need that anymore. And I said, I called bullshit on that, and my Facebook page just exploded. I personally can't see us playing two nose tackles on first and second down. I just can't see that coming out of this defense. Now, that would mean a philosophical change out of Mike Zimmer, who doesn't change shit. Okay? We keep thinking he's going to go to 3-4. Never happens. We keep thinking he's going to change.
Yeah, right.
We keep thinking he's going to find a kicker that he likes. Yeah. It's not going to happen. You know? So, what I see happening with Tomlinson is, number one, he's going to have two nose tackles because last year he had zero. And the guy lost his fucking shit over that.
He did.
Okay? So he said, I'm not doing that again.
I don't give a shit.
You're getting me too. Just in case Pierce sits out again, gets injured, he's not doing that again. So that's where I think he's coming from. So I still think you need a three technique. Now, I would still like to take Barmore, but I don't want to go through that crap again on my next mock draft, which will be this weekend. And that I think would, we have other needs.
I'd be happy with it, though. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, no, we don't. No, no, no. If that dude, if we get that dude, especially on a rookie contract, it's like, well, that's not going to hurt us right now. We can figure out the shit later, you know?
Yeah.
Keep going, though. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I think that's basic point here is that there are times when I think you'll see both of them goal line. I think you'll see them in short yardage. I think you'll see them on maybe some matchup stuff where you can play them together. But for the overwhelming amount of first and second down, you're going to need a three technique whose name is not Jaleel Johnson or Armon Watts. Because for the life of me, I can't figure out why Jaleel Johnson. Yeah, why Jaleel Johnson's still on this roster. He's my new Shamar Stephen.
Gotta go.
He's cheap. There you go. Armon Watts, I think, has some potential, but not enough to where you want to start him. So,
yeah.
I think, like I just stated, that's what we're going to do with Tomlinson. What say you, sir?
Well, you know, like I said, I haven't heard the press yet. I did see some quotes saying he's going to change some things. He's talked to some people. Gunter came over, and me and Gunter are tight, so we talked about it. I've been squinting with my left eye. Just put a patch on. I wear a patch at home and when I go hunting. But, here's the deal. Tomlinson is a little small. It's so funny to say that. A little smaller, you know, by like 30 pounds. But you're both pushing 320, 350. It is what it is. But he is a little more small. He's quicker. He's a spark plug, right? No, but the thing is, 2017, out of injury, he did play the three technique about half the time, right? That was when he was young. Last year, he got, I believe, even more snaps and did rotate. I can't remember who they brought in, but they brought someone in. So anyway, for 2 years, he rotated the full year basically at that position. So that makes me go, well, that's kind of interesting. Right. And maybe here's the thing. Money wise, the nose tackle, they probably get tired more running to the sidelines to get off the field on passing downs than they do during the game. I kid. But, they don't play a lot. If you look at the whole defensive line, they're not playing. They're playing the least amount of plays. Right. On average, even a stud D tackle, unless he could do both, but not many. Right. So I could see a scenario, right? Well, like you said, though, we could get that D tackle, the three technique for Balmer or somebody else too early, and they may play. If it's later in the draft, I don't think they're going to play right away. I could see a scenario where they try to do this, meaning they try to put Tomlinson at the three technique and try to put Pierce and then bump Pierce off the field since he is 350. And then 317, who, a lot of folks say who actually scouted him and whatever, all that stuff. We don't know until we actually see it. But he does put some pressure up the middle. You know, the last couple of years, local media said that he has gotten better at putting some pressure up the middle. So I could see a scenario where he starts on first down at that three tech and then get bumped over for whatever that may be, whether it's Watts, I don't know, maybe it's someone in the draft. So I could see that scenario. And another thing that stands out to me, this is his first, the guy hasn't missed, he basically hasn't missed a start since he's been in the league. So to me, to have the consecutive start, you get the most since you've been in the league and you were a free agent, that conversation had to have come up. So to me, and then the money, so we got two nose tackles that we're going to rotate at a position that doesn't play all three downs. It seems like, damn, that's going to be over 20 mil a year for 2 years. And then what's his toes got an extra year there. So Pierce. So that's a lot of money to have in one guy that doesn't play the holds or one position that doesn't play big dude nose tackle run stuff. To have two of them, that seems like, damn, dude, that's a lot of money there. So those things stand out to me. Also, Pierce, You know, the asthma thing has come up. He has 2 seasons of 400 plays and 1 season of 600 when someone was hurt. So I think that they didn't bring him in to pay that healthy money. They're both getting starter money. And I'm just wondering, now we don't have a D tackle that's making big money though either, a three technique. So maybe that's why they're just saying, let's try this. So I could see a scenario where they try this, it doesn't work, and they go with the newer guy. I could see a scenario where they say, hey, we did get that D tackle and they try it out, the three technique, and maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it does. Maybe it's awesome and they go with it and they got depth. And in 2 years, they let Tomlinson go or Pierce, whoever they like better. But I'm going to make the call that they're going to both play on first down. And another thing is taking up that space and those bodies up front. I mean, that really helps the blitz packages. And Barr and Kendricks and whoever else, Harrison runs on blitzes. I think of that too. And so I think that would help the linebacker. And we know he loves his blitz packages. But if you can clog up that middle and then let the edges go, I think that's the case. But I could see both scenarios. And I'm not going to be the guy that's going to be like, well, I said this in March. So if we go get that Alabama dude, I'm going to be happy because I'm for more beef in the middle.
Well, fair enough. I like your argument, and I think it makes an awful lot of sense considering the money and all that stuff, which I didn't really factor in. But even if you do plan on playing those two together, the pick of Barmore is still a good pick because you don't have any depth there. And you want to rotate. I remember, you know, best defense we had 2018 or 2017-18 season. He's rotating on the defensive line. And that's something that's going to happen. And I think, you know, one of the better points you made, Chris, was that, you know, Pierce plays up and then you rotate it something else in. And that made a lot of sense to me as well. So it's possible. I'm not going to say that it's not going to happen. I just don't see it because I don't see Zimmer changing a heck of a lot of what he does defensively. So, you know, if it does work out that way, I'm fine with it. And you are paying him starters money. And I understand that. But you still need depth there and you still need quality depth there. So don't tell me that a pick four team won the best defensive tackle in the draft, vastly better than any other one, is available that you don't take him. I think you take him if you can. Now, since things have gone on, I think some of the needs are more glaring, particularly guard and tackle and offensive line. I just can't tell you enough of what options free agency on the offensive line has completely cut out of your draft. It's mind-boggling. You're going to be stuck taking an offensive lineman.
Yeah, no doubt. And I agree as far as the D-tackle, too, because it's like I was just saying, we don't have a big contract down there. So, okay, we're paying these both guys over $10 million. Well, it doesn't hurt us right now, and we can figure it out. And to your point, I mean, if you look at since 2017, Tomlinson is the second highest rough state run stuffer in the league, minimum 800 snaps since 2017. So to not play him at nose tackle, I don't know. That's when I see that stat, it's like, damn, that's what he's really good at, though, isn't it? You know, I've seen some of his tape, and he does look like he hustles. It does look like he can hold ground, and then someone tried to do some at the last second, and he can move really well with it. He's quick-footed for how big he is, but we'll see. We will see.
Chris, we finished our off-season, our on-season shows last fall, or actually winter, and we said we need to fix offensive and defensive line. And at this point in March, we've got question marks on both sides of it. And I just don't think that's where we thought we would be at the end of free agency. And I'm not happy about it at all. And I don't think I can't figure out what's going on here. Are we talking about a couple guys in Zimmer and Spielman that are trying to save their jobs at this point? Because I don't think they're building for the future or Super Bowl.
No, you're right. They're definitely not building. I mean, some of this Ziggy money is not going to really catch up to us too much. because they're still like, they're not on the cap, some of it, and we should be okay that way. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm happy that they added, I did not think a free agent inside, whatever you want to call them, nose tackle, would be signed more. So I'm actually happy with that. I do believe Hunter is going to be back. So I'm happy with that on the middle, because I don't think there was – the only reason why I say that is because I don't think there was a free agent that we could have thrown $20 or $25 million at this time, because we didn't have that to throw at. You know, because we could say, well, why don't you put them together? Yeah, but Pierce was signed last year, right? So that does it. I was trying to make an example of like 20 to 24 million the next 2 years per year is in those guys, but Pierce is already there. So you're not going to be like, well, instead of doing Tomlinson, just so we're kind of limited on 20 something mil this year. So could we go out in free agency, actually get a D tackle like that, a three technique? Probably not. So that's why I'm still happy that way. But especially on the offensive line, and I agree that we still need to do the draft stuff. There's just no doubt about it. Any last words before we get out of here, sir? Why don't you shut down the show? Actually, you can shut us. You can.
Well, you know, I'll throw it back to you, but I just want to talk about, we're doing a mock draft 2.0. I know everybody's excited about it. The fanfare's enormous after the last one, and so you know, obviously, we're probably going to focus on some offensive line in the first round, as to what we've talked about already. You can follow us on Living in Loserville on Spricker and on Instagram. I know Chris and I sometimes visit the Facebook pages. If you can see us in there, drop us a line, let us know. I had a couple people said they listened to the show and had some points with me, and a couple guys had some good comments. So it's always nice. You know, I don't want to hear stupid arguments, but if you got something that makes you think, I definitely like that. And, you know,
I'll that's take about the stupid it. Arguments too. I'm just kidding. All right, we will be back. We're going to switch real quick for a week, okay? We're going to go back to T-Wolves stuff. We're going to address the Gopher stuff, the head coach, what we've seen out of the Wolves, really great, really mediocre, really like, here we go, same shit. So it's been a little variety of everything with the Wolves. We'll be back. Then, like he said, we'll do the Viking stuff back-to-back. And, we'll definitely see you soon. I was going to say enjoy the game, but enjoy free agency. Hopefully we'll get another offensive lineman. Peace.